I'm talking about the science of evolution this morning. And let me begin with a very well-known quote by Rumi, in which he really describes beautifully the law of evolution. He says, "I died as a mineral and became a plant. I died as a plant and rose to animal. I died as animal and I was man. What should I fear? When was I less by dying? Yet once more I shall die as a man, to soar with angels blessed. But even from angelhood I must pass on. All except God doth perish. When I have sacrificed my angel soul, I shall become what no mind ever conceived. Oh, let me not exist for non-existence." After the human kingdom, the law of evolution requires the participation of the human soul for a person to evolve further. If participation is lacking, then our human life degenerates. I really want to repeat this, so it drives a point home. The law of evolution requires the participation of our human soul for us to evolve further. If this participation is lacking, then the human life degenerates. So what does this mean for us? We know that a human being, in essence, is divine, that this human being originated from God. If we are all upon the return path to the Father's home, this means we will and must evolve. It means that we as a soul have a divine imprint in our soul, within our soul, which makes us capable of furthering our evolution and accomplishing great things. Great ones come precisely for the reason of making people participate in their own evolution. The first four lines of Rumi's poem takes us from the mineral kingdom to the plant, to the animal, and finally to the human kingdom. The human kingdom is known as the fourth kingdom in nature. The next kingdom is the kingdom of God and God's disciples. It is called the fifth kingdom. The fifth kingdom is also known as the superhuman kingdom. The wisdom teaching says that Christ and his disciples are members of this kingdom. But, and this is so beautiful, this kingdom is not the limit of evolution. What is also so beautiful, and why so many trust this path of return to the Father's home, is the fact that we do have an inherent power to evolve, and the fact that there is no limitation to evolution. See, this talk this morning is so powerful and so valuable, and warrants us listening to it several times over again. And the reason being is that normally we are not raised to think life in this way. We're born and then we die and go to heaven. That's the way I was raised, briefly. And I think most of us that are listening to the talk this morning and are here, you know, briefly listened to that comment also. Nonetheless, it has been drilled into us so that it becomes a thought form that is very limiting and not creative and doesn't answer the question, why would a person be born and live for a few days or a few years or maybe 50 years and then die and that's it? It just is not reality. Because there is no limit to evolution. The purpose of the evolution of the spark, the monad, is to affirm its fiery nature and to collect, this is an important word, collect or accumulate, the light-giving fire in itself within the monad. It is for this that life is given to us here and of those sparks in the higher worlds. Yet first we must admit that a human being is a fiery entity, and then proceed with the accumulation or collection of Agni. The opposite of accumulation is wasting the accumulation. Looking at those who waste their gifts, their life, we can see, excuse me, how frivolously precious power is lost. The incarnated soul who has misused its accumulation of Agni is now an empty shell. And we see these examples, you know, in our friends, maybe in our circle of our family, and certainly the wider circle being the nation and the planet and humanity. We see these empty shells because now we can recognize that they have wasted this precious energy. And empty, they are empty of creative energy. They are empty of psychic energy. They are empty of fire, the life-giving fire. A creative fire that has been wasted by actions, feelings, and thought, yet can also accumulate by these very same actions, feelings, and thoughts. So we can accumulate or waste. Accumulate or waste is our choice. Keeping attentiveness in our life prevents us from wasting the energies of Agni. It keeps us from wasting our actions, wasting our feelings and thoughts. So let me speak a bit about Agni, about fire. In the wisdom teaching, great emphasis is placed on fire. It tells us that the origin of all manifestation is fire. The origin of all manifestation is fire. All is fire in different degrees of condensation. There is material fire, the potential fire, material fire. There is also spiritual fire, which is a living fire. Between material fire and spiritual fire, there are many streams of fire from spirit to matter and matter to spirit. We call these fires active fires, which serve to keep all manifestation in progress. So Agni means fire. Agni Yoga means the union through, by, or in fire. The fire that I'm referring to is our true core. Life is essentially a spark from a cosmic flame. the monad is the central fire. A fiery yogi is a person who is united with the flame of his or her heart, united with the highest principle within their nature. And that word united is vital. They are united with the highest principle in their nature. So Agni Yoga leads to the self, the capital S self, which is the fire within each atom, each cell, and each person. Agni Yoga teaches us how to release this fire and join with the self of the universe. The self, the awareness unit, must release himself from the physical, emotional, and mental atoms so that he becomes a unified field of fire. Can't you just see, if you are an artist, that you could paint this beautiful history or process of involution and evolution through the process and progress of fire of Agni. So let us say, for example, that you are a highly advanced person, a real self. Everything that you do and say will be united with the fire of the universe and will awaken that fire within others. When the fire is awakened in others, then they become one with you and with all those who are releasing their divinity. There is no separation. They are part of an unbroken circle. The fire of cosmos is the same in all. We can either waste the spiritual fire or accumulate it. We must know what is understood as wasting and what is meant by accumulating the fire of Agni. Despondency, for example, is wasteful. It is like an open or running faucet where the water goes down the drain, wasting the water, wasting that spiritual fire. Joyfulness is the opposite of despondency, and courage is the opposite of fear. So we can compare all pairs of opposites in order to realize what of our actions are misusing the fire of Agni. The positive qualities of spirit are containers of fire that are kindled in the human microcosm. The quality of our spirit and actions are inseparable from each other. These qualities are revealed in action. This is why this word action, we just read this word over and over and over again, don't we? You know, in the teaching, action, aka striving, right? These qualities of spirit are revealed in actions as well as thoughts. For thought, quality, and action are parts of the same thread. And they are saturated with the same fire. The integrity of this thread is of particular importance. The pillar of spirit depends on the unity. The pillar of spirit depends on the unity of thought, quality, and action. A house divided in itself will not understand earthly and supermundane currents. Agni, or fire, can always be accumulated in all conditions of life if there is a desire to accumulate it, and an understanding of the significance of this inmost evolutionary activity. Involutionary words or actions cannot accumulate Agni, as well as involutionary thoughts. The feeling of the limitation of the source only comes through involutionary action. Moderation is manifested in everything, in all phases of human activity. Calm strength is powerful in the manifestation of moderation or control. So any force, any feeling, any phenomenon can be exhausted by self-gratification or conceit. Do you see how the talk is like taking us forward, then taking us back, taking us a little bit further, and then taking us a little further back? Trying to build our understanding of what evolution is and what the opposite or involution is, because either one is possible, construction, destruction. The accumulation of the fire energy of Agni is the evolutionary path to the fiery world. The accumulated fire of Agni matures in the established qualities of spirit, qualities that grow in the process of application, in their application of life. Agni Yoga is a way of applying the laws of psychic energy in life and thereby affirming its fiery power. When we read about the power of great ones, such as Moses and Krishna and Buddha, we become convinced that mankind is capable of evolving by striving to be more than we presently are. Right? So why do people give up? When we read the writings of Master M, when we read about the lives of Helena and Nicholas Roark, when we study the lives of the masters of hierarchy, such as Christ, the head of hierarchy, the Master Moria and Master Kutumi, we learn about reincarnation and evolution, and we become inspired. The secret doctrine on the subject of evolution says, every form on earth and every speck or atom in space strives in its efforts towards self-formation to follow the model placed for it in the heavenly man. To help us understand how this takes place, we must first know that evolution of the spirit is related to our core, our central core. The core is known as the monad. Now, in the secret doctrine, it defines monadic evolution in this way. It says monadic evolution is the unfoldment and development of the spark of divinity, the self. It is also useful to realize that moving through the first three kingdoms of God, the mineral, the plant, the vegetable, animal kingdom, is mechanical. The mineral, vegetable, animal kingdom, this forward movement, which we would see as evolution, is mechanical. But there is one beautiful exception. The exception is the case when the progressing human souls feel responsible for helping the evolutionary process of the lower kingdoms, and consciously and scientifically create conditions in which their evolution is safeguarded and speeded. One such example for the animal kingdom would be our pets, our domestic pets. Pet owners who work hard with their pets, teaching them disciplines, helping them to realize their potential, that they each have a purpose. Each little puppy dog, each little kitty has a purpose, just like you and I have a purpose and are helping to speed their evolution. But people who are consciously helping the evolution of the lower kingdoms are rare. So many people not only do not help the evolution of plants, animals, and human beings, but instead create insurmountable hindrances on their path. This is done, for example, by exterminating animals and destroying forests, and by making people live in a world that is neither safe or healthy. The task of humanity is not only to rise by itself, but also to strive toward the transformation of our planet Earth. The higher and more refined the culture, the more opportunities for this transformation and the evolution of our planet. The task of humanity is to transform both the planet and the subtle world, the astral world, in accordance with the principles of beauty and light. Beauty and light, the principles of beauty and light. Everyone can begin to fulfill this task individually, making their own contribution of beauty to both objective and subjective building of work. Both worlds need reorganization and transformation. The astral world and the physical world both need reorganization and transformation. So how do we reorganize the subtle world? Through thought, right thought, creative thought, evolutionary thought, which begins with concentration, meditation, contemplation. As we align our soul, our monad, to the astral and higher worlds, eventually our human soul will be able to move out of the physical body into more subtle existences and activate and ignite those thought forms that we all have been building through concentration, meditation, and contemplation. Activates them. The new earth and new heaven are not religious concepts, but the demand of evolution. Everything that opposes it, fights against it, and does not obey it will be ultimately swept away by the advancing wave of evolution. Therefore, we want to bring the new world into manifestation and leave the old world behind. Now, the teachings tell us there are seven principles of existence, and each principle corresponds to what? A ray. Each principle corresponds to a ray. A ray is a symbol for us, reminding us of striving to master its corresponding substance, to master the corresponding substance of the ray. There's a lot in this. Just you can't, you know, explain everything in detail, because then we won't develop our intuition. So we're given information and then build on it, and building on it through the process of concentration, meditation, and contemplation takes us into the light of the higher worlds, and now we begin to understand what it means. What it means to strive to master the corresponding substance of the ray. The seven basic tones of the musical scale produces all the richness and variety in the world of sounds. The creative power of the ray spectrum of a master's fiery aura is immeasurable. When you study Agni Yoga, you read the word little r, ray, and big R, ray. And all we need to know is that we need to strive to master the substance, whether it's little r or big R, right? To master that substance, just the way the master has done. The creative power of the ray spectrum of a master's fiery aura is immeasurable. The power of the sun's ray can be assessed by the fertile richness that covers the planet. A ray creates life. Rays giving life saturate the aura of the planet, imparting the impulse of what? Evolutionary development. In the rays of the mother of the world, the power of the master's rays, there is achieved a unifying power. And this united power creates a new stage in the planet's evolution. Now, the secret doctrine says that every atom in the universe has the potentiality of self-consciousness in it. Every atom in the universe has the potentiality of self-consciousness. And as a universe in itself and for itself, wow, it is an atom and an angel. See, back when Rumi was talking about the angel soul. Human evolution is divided into five dimensions. The first is the evolution of vehicles, the physical to the spiritual triad. The second is intellectual evolution, the evolution of the mental body, such as acquisition of knowledge. The third is psychic evolution, which is developing the higher bodies, the development of the higher bodies, psychic evolution. These bodies, these higher bodies, are the mental, buddhic, atmic, and to the acquisition of powers and faculties. It is primarily the evolution. This is primarily the evolution and expansion, process of expansion of consciousness. Psychic evolution, expansion of consciousness. Number four, moral evolution, which is related to psychic evolution, but also to the principles of the higher worlds. And number five is spiritual evolution. But we know that this fivefold evolution does not, this is so interesting. To me, it just blows me away. Every time I study it and think about this and try to understand it more, that this fivefold evolution does not proceed step by step by step, but in cycles, which often these cycles can intermingle with one another. For example, sometimes physical evolution is longer than mental evolution. Sometimes they go together, but the emphasis is laid on psychic evolution, and so on. Also, in certain lives, the major emphasis may be laid on this cycle of spiritual evolution, and for some, physical evolution. If you really think about this, you will easily recognize that during this fivefold evolution, you may see that certain disturbances of a person or even a nation prolongs one cycle at the expense of another. Or if the person blocks the evolution of a certain aspect, other fivefold evolution. The fivefold evolution also obeys another law that controls the evolution of the centrifugal or centripetal centers. Sometimes evolution starts from the center. From the center, centripetal, of our being. Sometimes it starts from the periphery of the vehicles. These cycles can proceed simultaneously or with different rhythms. See, this is not easy. But we don't like easy. When one observes the process of evolution over a period of many billions of years, we can easily see evolution occurring. But if you look at the short term, it may seem that mankind was better 200 years ago than it is now. As it may seem to some that modern society's moral evolution went back to animal psychology instead of going forward. When we look at the longer picture, we soon realize that certain kingdoms or human beings go downward for certain years or cycles, but this does not matter for the long haul, as long as they are ultimately heading toward the summit. There is one exception to this case. I'm sorry. There is one exception to this case which only occurs in the human kingdom. Only occurs in the human kingdom. The exception occurs before the human being has taken the transformative initiation, which is the third initiation. It may be that certain people sell their souls to Satan and thus sever their ties with their inner guardian. These people fall down to the darkest layers of evolution, and they eventually annihilate themselves in the elements of chaos and no longer exist. The secret doctrine says, the whole order of nature evinces a progressive march toward a higher life. There is a design or a plan, it says, in the action of the seemingly blindest forces. The whole process of evolution, with its endless adaptations, is a proof of this, that there is a design. The immutable laws that weed out the weak and feeble species to make room for the strong, and which ensures the survival of the fittest, though so cruel in their immediate action, all are working toward the grand end. Helena Roark wrote to her students, one of her students, saying, "The humanity will start its real evolution only when both origins are affirmed in life." All principles which do not include the understanding of the dual origin can only increase the lack of balance. Humanity, she said, must understand the law of the cosmic magnet. Much can be done for evolution by the realization of the grandeur of the dual origin, which is the basis of life. In one of my conference presentations last month, I said we live in a time where the old way of thinking will be the way of the retrogressors, a global body of dictators that will take the world toward danger. New world thinkers will take life toward the light of the sun. Do you remember that? Toward the light of the new world, toward infinity. Thinkers whose actions will return that balance between the two origins, between the masculine and the feminine. The future is so beautiful and so broad. Helena Roark wrote, "Let your names be written down among the names of the great co-workers of evolution." She said, "What can be higher and more beautiful than cooperation for the general good of the culture of nations?" And she wrote that February 24th, 1930. And that's it for this morning.